Welcome to Daily in the Word.
If I asked you, what is God's purpose for your life, what would you answer? Most young adults don't really have a clear picture of what they should do after high school. In fact, there are so many options, the decision can actually be scary. If you're interested in discovering God's perfect plan for your future, or if you'd like to prepare to serve God in full-time ministry, then find out more about West Coast Baptist College at wcbc.edu.
It's been said, don't doubt in the night what God gave you in the light. During times of uncertainty and fear and trouble, we often doubt and make wrong decisions. But next on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell will challenge you to come back to a strong foundation by reminding you of things to remember. The song says it so well, we are prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. How often we are tempted to despair or discouragement and to making the wrong decision. In the Christian life, we're on a journey. The journey sometimes contains twists and turns in the path, times of doubt and fear that cause us to get shaky and skittish like a sheep, and we need a shepherd. It's our shepherd that calls us back to his word to remind us of the foundational truths of our lives. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This Monday through Friday radio program comes to you and features the teaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chappell today is teaching a series entitled Things to Remember, reminding us of the foundational truths of our spiritual lives. Before we join the message, I do want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. When you visit us on the website, be sure to click on the Contact Us tab and send us an email and let us know that our program is touching your life. We have a gift for you this month when you call or write to us or contact us. It's the mini book, Done, a very clear presentation of the gospel that you can pass along to a friend. To receive this, simply give us a call or visit the website at dailyintheword.org. Today we're turning in our Bibles to John 15, verses 18 through 27, as we study the words he spoke and remembering his words.
I heard about a soldier that was wounded in the military, and he was ordered to go to the hospital and have his wounds treated. He went over to the hospital, and when he got there, he saw two doors. One door had a sign on it. The other door had a sign on it. The first sign said, for minor wounds. The second sign said, for major wounds. He walked into the first door and went down through a long hallway. He came to another set of doors, and one door said, for officers. One door said, for enlisted men. So he went through the door for the enlisted men. He walked all the way down to the end of the hallway. He came again to two more doors. One said for party members. One said for non-party members. He walked through the door that said non-party members. He walked all the way to the end of the hallway, down the stairs, and found himself out on the street. He got back to his unit, and the fellas there said, how did the visit to the hospital go? He said, well, the people really didn't help me much, but man, are they organized. You know, we live in a highly organized, impersonal world. And when someone who knows Jesus stops to show concern, it makes a big difference. When someone cares enough to give a gospel tract to an unsaved friend, when someone cares enough to say, hey, I'll pray for you, when someone cares enough to meet a need, it makes a big difference in this world. And Jesus says, I want you to remember some of these things. And the first thing he says is, the servant is not greater than his Lord. How many of us can do a better job of serving even this week? But notice secondly, he says, I want you to remember the potential for suffering. Jesus says, if you're going to serve the way I serve, ironically, there will be people who will not appreciate what you are doing. Notice again in verse number 20 what Jesus says. He says, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. In fact, look over in your Bible in John 16 and verse 1. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Look, and I'm not trying to be depressing today, but do you realize there are people in this world, some would say as many as 1 billion people in this world, who if they could take your life as an American and as a Christian, they think they're doing God a favor. And Jesus said, the time's going to come when if men could kill you, they think they're doing that for a good cause. And he says in verse 3, the things that they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. I'm amazed that in this day where everybody cries tolerance, 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 there is increasingly a lack of tolerance toward people who believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so Jesus predicted that this spirit would come into the age even in which we live. And so notice, if you would, first of all, the believer's example in suffering. Jesus tells us that there's potential for suffering. And he tells us in verse number 20 that he is our example. He says, if they have persecuted me. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 5:11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say any manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I told you last week how humbled I was to be in some of the prison cells of the reformers, people who stood up against the Romish church that would not allow the average man to have a Bible, people who said that the only way to get saved was by taking the cup and the bread. And when they stood up against those false doctrines, they were placed in prison throughout Europe, and many of them inscribed writings upon the walls. And one of the writings said, the more the suffering here on this earth, the more the glory in heaven with my Savior. They had this perspective that it was a privilege to suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 15, here in verse 21, it says, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Jesus is saying, the kind of persecution I will experience, you will also experience, and it will be for my name's sake. Now notice the believer's example in suffering. It is our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, secondly, the believer's experience in suffering. Notice what it says there in verse 21. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Now, to get that in context and to further understand it, let's notice what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Right there in your notes, 2 Timothy 3:12. In fact, let's turn there in our Bibles very quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. This is the last book that the Apostle Paul wrote in his lifetime under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:12. It's called a pastoral epistle. It was written to a young pastor named Timothy. Now notice what it says in 2 Timothy 3:12. Keep your spot there in John. We're going to come back to it. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now let's read verse number 12 together. Ready, begin. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now catch this, please. Where it says all that will live, it is saying to us all that will to live godly, or everyone who determines that he's going to live for God will suffer persecution. Now, I'm not trying to be depressive. I don't have a persecution complex. But you know what I have? I have a great desire to preach the whole counsel of God. And in this day of health, wealth, and prosperity, and let the good times roll, and everyone just wanting to know how can church make me healthier and happier and all of that, I think we need to be reminded from time to time that if we will to live for God, I mean, if you determine that you're going to live for Jesus, you're not going to be ashamed of Christ, there will be times when you suffer persecution because you are a child of God. There will be things said of you. There will be things done to you. There will be challenges that will come your way. And by the way, sometimes, sad to say, there are even alleged Christians who will say, what are you going to church so much for? And you don't have to do this or that, and say things against you. And I just want to simply inoculate you today to the fact that the Bible says all who will to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And my friend, that has been the case since the early days of Christianity. After we had our time in England, we rearranged some of our schedule and we were able to go over to the city of Rome for 2 days on the trip that our family took. And there were some things that took place in my heart there that altered the way I view my Christian life in a major way. God spoke to my heart. One of the sights we saw was the Roman Colosseum. Some of you have seen it or read about it, I'm sure. Completed in 80 AD by the emperor named Titus. Some of you know that for the first 100 days of this Roman Colosseum, there were over 9,000 animals killed on the floor of the Colosseum. And one of the favorite games of the Christians was to bring, of the Romans rather, was to bring Christians into the Colosseum and have them to fight against the lions. The Colosseum would hold more than 50,000 people. The Roman emperors and other of the Senate would sit around, and for sport, they would bring in people who did not believe in Venus or Mars or Apollo or the pagan gods of the Romans, but had professed a faith in Jesus Christ. I did not know this, but underneath the Colosseum, there are two stories of cages where the animals and where people would be placed. Some of you have heard of the gladiators and so forth. But in the early days, it was not gladiators. It was the Christians who were brought up and sacrificed literally and martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. Many names could be told about. One man, Ignatius, who was an apostle of, or a follower of the apostle John and had been saved through his ministry, was brought bound into this Colosseum where he stood, and the lions came upon him, one to his leg, one immediately to his chest. His life was snuffed out in a matter of seconds. His last words, "I commend to my spirit the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom I trust as my Savior." He literally shed his blood, as did thousands and hundreds of thousands of others through the early centuries, simply for being called a Christian. About 500 yards from the Colosseum, you walk through the Roman Forum and you come to a place known as the Mamertine Prison. This slide isn't real impressive, but standing in that prison made an indelible mark on my soul. This was the place where the Apostle Paul spent his last days. This is not argued by the archaeologists or historians or theologians who've studied. Most from varied backgrounds would agree. Some other places of biblical record have some argument about whether it was actual, but most believe that this was the actual place where the Apostle Paul was kept. It was the political prison of the Roman Empire, and Paul was brought there, and he suffered there. He wrote the book of 2 Timothy from this place, and then gave his life as a martyr for the faith, because he would not back down off of his belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, the believer's suffering is something that we take for granted. And I just share this with you today, because when trials come and someone's not real friendly about your faith in Christ, remember that there have been many before us who have paid a great price for their faith in Jesus Christ. But we see in this text not only our position as servants, not only our potential for suffering as servants, but notice finally with me his promise to soul winners. The promise that is given to soul winners. Now, please notice in our text, verse number 20, what it says. It says, "If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." Now, an apostle, if you've studied that word, it means a sent one, or one that is sent forth. Jesus was preparing his apostles to go out into the world, and they literally, history records, turned the known world upside down. Northern Africa, the Mediterranean region, throughout Europe. Some historians say the Apostle Paul may have gone as far north as England, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But before they went, Jesus gave them this challenge and this admonition, and he called them his sent forth ones. And he reminds them here in this passage that there will be some who will hear their words. Those are the ones who have received Jesus Christ. There will be some who will reject their words. Those are the ones who have rejected Jesus Christ. And the lessons that Jesus gives to us today are, first of all, that true believers will hear the word of God. A true believer will want to know what the Bible says. I'll tell you, there's nothing more thrilling in my life than seeing someone accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. But right after that, the great thrill is when they begin to come to church and get discipled, and they show the fruit and the desire for the Word of God. That's exciting when that happens in the life of a Christian, the life of a soul winner. And it says here in verse 20, if they have kept my word, they will keep yours also. The word "kept" here means to attend to carefully, to guard. And if a person has a heart to hear the Word of God, it is an evidence that the Lord is working in their life. Now, an unbeliever will resist the Word of God. Someone that has never accepted Jesus as their Savior has no appetite for the Bible. They have no desire to hear what the Bible says. Look at verse 22. It says, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin." Jesus says, Now they're aware of their sin, and they have no covering for themselves. They can't cover the fact that they know how to be saved. The word no cloak means an alleged reason or a pretended cause. In other words, they are without excuse. Actress Halle Berry recently wrote, "I believe in God. I just don't know if that God is Jehovah or Buddha or Allah." Well, I'm glad I know who my God is. Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." The fact of the matter is, the Bible says that in Him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You see, there are many people say, "Well, I just don't know where to find God." It's not because they haven't heard about Jesus Christ. It's because they have chosen to reject Jesus Christ. But someone who has received Christ as their Savior, they will receive the teaching of the Word of God. In John chapter 8 and verse 39, the Bible says, "They answered and said unto Him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." In other words, some people are going to say, "Well, we're Presbyterian, or we're this, we're Mormon, we're whatever." But the fact is, it's not about religion. It's about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Over and over again in the Bible, we see men who chose to reject Jesus. No matter how great the miracles were, no matter how powerful the preaching was, they chose to reject Him. On one occasion, Jesus raised up a man by the name of Lazarus from the dead. It's in your notes, John 11, 43. "And when He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and in his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on Him." Listen to this. "But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." You see, the scribes and Pharisees had one desire, and that was political prosperity and self-preservation. And because of that, they were blind to the teachings of Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus says they are now without a cloak. They do not have an excuse. They have heard the truth, and they have rejected the truth. And one of the things we need to recognize is that as Christians, we are the witnesses. We are the ones who tell others about Jesus Christ. But it will only be those who have the Holy Spirit working in their heart who will be saved and who will want the Word of God. And those who reject the conviction of the Holy Spirit will also reject the words that we would say. True believers hear the Word of God. Secondly, true believers recognize His ministers. The Bible says in verse 20, if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. You see, a saved person, when they hear the Word of God preached, it bears witness with their spirit. And they say, "I have accepted Christ as my Savior, and this person is preaching the gospel of Christ, and so I receive what is being said because I know this to be true because Jesus is my Savior." And then notice, thirdly, the Bible says that true believers listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Now notice what it says in verse 26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me." Now, there's a couple great things about this verse. First of all, it says, when the Comforter is come. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit of God. And we thank God that the Comforter has come. And when you are born again, you are born again by the Spirit. But notice what else it says. It says, whom I will send unto you from the Father. That phrase shows us the place of Jesus in the Godhead. It doesn't say whom the Father will send. It says whom I will send. Jesus Christ is co-equal with the Father, and He will send the Comforter. But then read on. It says, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me. Now listen very carefully. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life immediately. You are born again by the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, who is sometimes called the Comforter, will testify of Jesus Christ. He will teach you about Jesus Christ. He will illuminate you and give your mind an understanding about who Jesus is and about what Jesus said. throughout the days of the Reformation, men attempted to translate the scriptures and distribute the scriptures. They were cast in prison. They were burned at the stake. Why? The church at Rome did not want the common man to have a Bible. Whether it was the Anabaptist or the Baptist after them, one of the great distinctives of the Baptist church is that we have always believed in the priesthood of every believer and the individual soul liberty of every man. That simply means this, my friend. Every one of you can go home tomorrow or today. You can open up the Bible. You can read the Bible. And you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand the Bible. And the Lord says in this passage, the Holy Spirit will testify. He will guide. And He will teach you day by day the Word of God. Isn't that a blessing? Now, that doesn't mean we should forsake the assembling of church. It doesn't mean there's no necessity for pastors or evangelists. It just simply means you don't have to go 7 days in a row without knowing what God wants you to know. God's Spirit will teach you, and God's Spirit will guide you in the Word of God. And this morning, we must make a commitment ourselves. And we must say that as His servant, in this day of adversity, God help me to be a soul winner, to get the message out that I might be faithful in my generation so that others might hear about Christ and so that others might be saved as well. Even as those of the first century and all the way through have said, I'm not greater than my Lord, I'm His servant. And even as they have said, as a servant, I might suffer. I might have some friends that make fun of me. But even as that has happened in their life, they have been faithful to testify of the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit has borne witness. We can be a part of that today. We can keep it going on by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there might be someone here this morning, and you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. You do not know that if you ended this life today, you would be with Jesus in heaven. You don't have that certainty in your mind. And today, you need to settle that issue and know what it means to have your sins forgiven and a home in heaven. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you can't stand up and you can't testify for someone that you don't know. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we would encourage you to trust Him as your Savior today. Listen, if you know Jesus as your Savior, then I encourage you today to stand up for Him. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. May we leave this place determined to be His servants, and may we be willing to stand in the day of adversity. Shall we pray? Father, I do pray if there's someone here today without Jesus as their Savior, that they would open their heart, feel the convicting power of Your Spirit today, and allow You to lead them into that relationship of salvation, that they would be born again by Your Spirit. I pray for Christians today, Lord. Some of these men and women will go to Los Angeles and Edwards Air Force Base and Tehachapi and the Antelope Valley, and they'll say a prayer at lunch, or they'll say something about church, and someone's going to make fun of that. And I pray that they would determine right now to stand and with a smile on their face be faithful to their Savior who died for them. Lord, give us that strength in this day in which we live.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, and this message has been brought by Pastor Paul Chapel in a series, Things to Remember, challenging us to come back to the foundational truths of our lives. If we can help you understand what it means to trust Christ, to build your life on a foundation and a relationship with Him, please give us a call or contact us here at Daily in the Word. I'll give you that information in just a moment. If you'd like this message or this entire series, Things to Remember, it is available on our website, dailyintheword.org, or you can call or write to us. We'd love to send it to you on audio CD or MP3 CD. Again, it's the series, Things to Remember. We sure enjoy hearing from you as a listener, knowing that Daily in the Word is touching your life on a daily basis. This month, our gift to you when you call or write to us is the mini book, Done, What Most Religions Don't Tell You About the Bible. This book, Done, is a paperback 112-page presentation of the gospel. It will do two things. It will help you as a Christian understand how to better share your faith, but more importantly, it would be a great resource to pass along to someone that you're hoping will come to Christ. If you know someone, a relative, a coworker, a neighbor, who hasn't come to Christ and you've tried to share the gospel with them, this is a great way to pass the gospel along to them and encourage them to read this book. We receive emails every week of people all across the country that have trusted Christ as a result of Done, What Most Religions Don't Tell You About the Bible. This is our gift to you this month when you call or write to us at Daily in the Word. You can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. And finally, you can send a letter to 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Be sure to visit us at dailyintheword.org. And until next time, have a great day.